Dusty Likens.
Hearing some of those commercials in the break, how the drive is not brought to you by Go Car Wash. Are you washed? Probably not. Come to Go Car Wash. I'm Carrington Harrison. I'm Carrington. It is a Wednesday. Starting to look like a beautiful day out there.
Yeah, it depends on what side of the building we're on. You look to the north, it's sunny. You look to the south, it looks like, I don't even know what. What's the word that I'm looking for?
Washed.
Yeah.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba, I'm loving it. Well, hello, everybody. Happy Wednesday.
Couldn't have said it better, my man. The Fesco and Dusty Wednesday poll question. Would you rather have Mahomes' arm or Bobby Witt Jr.'s arm? 70.2% say Mahomes' arm. I agree. I think that's where I would lean as well. I know Bobby's got a hose, but Mahomes, man.
Who makes more money in their career? Just playing money. Bobby or Patrick?
Bobby Witt Jr.
I'll go Bobby because it's baseball, but it's close.
Well, but I don't know what the new collective bargaining agreement's going to be. That's the thing.
Yep.
You know, we don't know where that's going in baseball. So who knows? But I would lean towards Bobby because baseball. But, man, what Mahomes has made some dough already, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the $500 million contract would say enough because I do remember when he was going to get his contract that they were saying that Mahomes is going to get baseball money, which is hilarious because he did get baseball money. I mean, there's only, like, what, two players in baseball that make more money contract-wise than he?
And Ohtani and Soto, right?
I think that's the only two. $750 and what did Ohtani get? Soto got 700, right?
I can't remember.
And Ohtani got like 750.
But they're both in the sevens. I know that.
Yeah.
Wonder if they're going to stay in the sevens once this new collective bargaining agreement comes in.
The Mets would rather have Soto or Pete Crow Armstrong.
I think the Mets would rather have Pete Alonso, too. I mean, yeah, but Pete Crow Armstrong is another one that they traded him away.
Javi Baez.
I know. The Mets made some bad moves, bro. Like some really, really bad moves at that point in time.
But Bill Rasmussen passed away. And for those of you that don't know who that is, he is basically the founder of ESPN.
Yeah, like created this thing in his basement, basically.
Went into debt, buying a satellite to basically create the four-letter network for all of us that we used to love so dearly. And the question we get asked is, who are the most influential and important people in sports?
Because he's one of them.
Yeah, without him, we don't have SportsCenter. We don't have anything that we have on ESPN today.
I mean, you wonder where rights are, too. Rights fees and the televised games and all of that kind of stuff. Because ESPN came out and they were still televising the NBA Finals on tape delay.
Booyah!
ESPN was the first real group, I think, to do the NCAA tournament. And then CBS, you know, took that away from them. But, I mean, you talk about, like, most influential people in sports. Every single sports fan watches ESPN or consumes it at some point. I don't want to hear, I don't watch ESPN. It's just garbage. No, you watch. We've all, at one point in our lives, as a sports fan or just as a normal American, have come alongside and watched ESPN. And it really did. It's changed the landscape of everything. You think about when that network came out in 1979. I was two. You know, you guys had new, you weren't even existing, right? Like,
nope.
Dusty, you were nowhere to be found. Mac, your parents may not even be married back then. And so, you know, in 79, this comes out. People are doubting whether or not this is going to work. And they originally wanted to do it as a local Connecticut type thing. And then they found a way to expand it and make it global. And then because of that, sports talk radio got here. And here we sit in this age of media. That was all started by Bill Rasmussen and his brother, not his brother, but his son, basically in their basement for $9,000. And I think it's funny, 3 weeks after ESPN went on the air, Chris Berman was hired. He's literally been there since day one. Nobody can find his butt, but he's literally been there since day one with that network. And so this is crazy. He is one of the biggest pioneers and one of the most important people and one of the most influential people in sports history.
Yeah, I think some of the names that I came up with, and I mean, I'm probably going to get, you know, ran for this, but Lamar Hunt
is
on the list for me just because the NFL is not what it is today. We heard Clark Hunt talking in the interview on the first preseason game that the World Cup was always something that they wanted to do as a family. I'm sure you listened to, you know, Hosmer talked to, you know, the McAfee show about having a moment in the locker room. I'm sure there was a moment at the Hunt household where it's like, we did it.
We did it.
The World Cup here. They're all soccer nuts over there, that household. So Lamar Hunt for sure,
no
because
doubt.
Football's not here without that. For me, another one is Tiger Woods. Now, he's not.
Yeah.
You think about in what he. Now, the players will always have him. Like, they will always. He'll always be the guy. I remember when, like, the LIV and PGA Tour stuff was getting really murky. Tiger, like, flew in with a bunch of dudes to, like, settle this thing and try to get the PGA focused on what is important. And then you look at why I play golf today. It's no secret. I do radio because of Jim Rome, and I do golf because Tiger Woods was so mesmerizing to me to be like, that sport seems really fun if you can get decent at it. And it's why I play. It's why a lot of people play.
No doubt.
It's why basically the entire tour plays. And a lot of times you hear things about certain stats on the tour. A lot of people are like, well, you know, Tiger, you know, walks so we could all run. And then the last one for me is kind of one that's more new. And to me, it's Topps and Bowman.
Mm-hmm.
It's the card industry. You go from the kid that pulled the Cooper flag, you know, debut patch, $3 million card. Said he wants to hold on to it and just embellish what it is. Sell the damn card, kid. Come on, man.
Get rid of it.
Dad, talk to this kid, man.
Take the cash, bro.
$3 million. But I get it. You know, to each their own. But the way the card game is newly one of the ones that is, like, influential to people is, you know, we talk about this all the time. Like, we see these kids getting drafted out of college, going straight into the pros. We've seen Kevin McGonigal take off, Jack Caglione, Nick Kurtz, uh-huh. JJ Weatherholtz, Paul Skeens, mm-hmm. all these names. These are all names of guys that were in college, if not high school, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. And kids are collecting their cards. When they show the pregame stuff on the Royals TV network, you know, there's people standing in line and they're holding a Bowman or a Topps card that's almost guaranteed either Bobby or Jack. That's mm-hmm. what I would assume. Or maybe there's a few Carters out there as well. But the card game has been influential to
no doubt.
The youth and to even
people in baseball. Yeah.
Right. Like, you know, people like, you know, oh, I got this. I guess this card's really, really high on the money list. What is it? Some prospect from Miami. Mm-hmm. All right, I'll hold on to that. And then, you know, you go back to Tiger with the players and the young kids that are now my age in their 30s and 40s and maybe close to their 50s that are like, yeah, I play golf because Tiger got me into it. And then Lamar Hunt as well.
Yeah, and card companies, dude, they grow the game. I mean, I remember as a kid, you knew who everybody was and what every team they played on. And it's not because you were watching games, because back then, maybe you got one game a week, but you were collecting cards. You knew all the randos out there. And, you know, whoever was pitching in a game, oh, yeah, I know that guy got his card. And you were able to. So, no, the card industry is really big when it comes to having that sort of influence. For me, I got a couple of names on my list. And I was looking at Mac's list. And I'm like, did Bob write that list? Because, I mean, like, you got every old geezer on there possible, and it's a really good list because I share one with you, and that is Pete Rozelle. And he is the most important guy when it comes to the NFL because he was the commissioner when they merged, but he was also the guy who came up with these first TV deals for the National Football League. And because of him and his ideas, the NFL is on TV the way it is for all of us today, which is free. And I don't want to hear streaming and all this kind of stuff. If you're a Chiefs fan in Kansas City, every game is free. Okay, every game is free. No other sport provides that. No other sport provides that to any fan base other than the NFL. And that goes all back to Pete Rozelle and his doings and dealings with those TV networks. You're going to laugh at this one. Jerry Jones is on my list. Jerry Jones came into the NFL and turned the NFL on its head and showed how much money this league can make. The NFL, it was a Coke-sponsored league forever. Jerry Jones came in and signed a local deal with Pepsi, flipped the entire table on the NFL. The NFL was pissed. What are you doing? Why are you doing that? Because I'm generating local revenue. All the local revenue I generate is the money that I get to keep. And Jerry Jones found a way to basically turn Dallas into a mini NFL by its own with the AT&T sponsorship and showed the rest of the NFL, oh, we can sell these local deals and it doesn't have to be in with the NFL. And he got the ball rolling on that. He's also the guy that's behind basically every new stadium out there. He's the guy that goes in and gets these deals done and makes sure that everybody is getting these new stadiums. And then he buys the concession business and sells his own concession so he doesn't have to pay for that as well. Jerry Jones is an unbelievable game changer in the National Football League. He may be the most important owner when it comes to where the NFL is right now because Jerry had that vision and they all follow Jerry Jones. And if he didn't have that vision, I don't know where the NFL is at this point in time. And I also put Rob Manfred on this list. I know baseball people aren't going to like him, but what other commissioner has come in and changed rules of a sport and we love them, right? every rule that Rob Manfred has changed, we all go, that works. That's great. That's wonderful. And what has it done? It's made the game of baseball better. We're bringing the younger players up faster now. We've got a pitch clock. The games are faster. We're seeing things that we've never seen before in the game. And I think it's great. And it's all because Rob Manfred pushed the envelope and said, we're getting out of the old guard stuff and we're going to change this game. So those are three guys that I have on my list.
Yeah, Matt Caddy.
Yeah, that's a great one. Roselle also, you know, expanded the league, was the commissioner of the NFL for damn near 30 years. I'd say David Stern, another commissioner in the
NBA. He was a commissioner when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 1960 to 1989 was Pete Roselle. That was his tenure. David Stern, you talk about making things global. He did it the right way because he didn't take NBA teams away from the United States, but he created basketball around the world. It's one of the most popular sports now in the world. I'll go Bill Veeck.
Is
a guy that I read up on trying to look up stuff yesterday. This guy is, I mean, this is a guy after your own heart, Bobby. He made entertainment in sports. He was bringing out live animals. He had wedding ceremonies at the home plate. This was a great stunt that he had in 1951. Eddie Goodell came to the plate as pinch hitter for the St. Louis Browns. He was 3'7" tall. Yep. He wore the uniform number 1/8. And he made the entrance into the game by bursting out of a paper mache cake and then proceeded to draw a walk. And then, Bill James with sabermetrics and analytics and sports. So you can hate him, love him, whatever. You can say that.
Influential,
but
he's
massively influential and, to me, positively influential in sports.
Yeah, I think he's a very negative influence on sports, but that's just me. But no doubt, an influential. Yeah, the Bill Veeck one is great. He was in charge of Disco Demolition Night. I mean, like, all of those stupid promotions that you saw back in the 70s, because he owned, I want to say, Cleveland, St. Louis, and the White Sox.
He owned, like, a bunch of different teams
There's a documentary out there right now, and I forget what streaming services on about his son, who about the Veeck family. You should watch that and see some of the stuff that they do. And he was also the first American League owner to break the color barrier as well. Once Jackie Robinson broke it in the National League, then Bill Veeck in the American League, when he was running Cleveland, had Larry Doby on his team, and he was the first African American in the American League. Like, Bill Veeck, that's a great pull by you. Yeah, you know, that really is. That's a good pull by you, because he really was influential with a lot of the stuff that he did. Walk up music, names on jerseys.
Yeah.
You know, Eddie Goodell, the 1/8 guy. It was crazy. Yeah.
That's funny.
Somebody says Phil Knight could be one.
Phil Knight is,
Phil Knight could be one.
How could you not put Phil Knight on that list?
Right. I hate to agree with this one, but I totally agree because of the creep that he is. Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
I mean, completely changed everything from, like, you know, wrestling was like, here comes the clown.
And every sport's compared to wrestling now. Who's the heel?
Fair.
You know? So, Vince, again, if you don't agree with somebody, doesn't mean they weren't influential.
Yeah, no, it's not even agreeing with him. He's just an awful human being.
He's just a terrible human.
But very influential. Yeah.
Yep.
For sure. I mean, just look at WrestleMania today, man. The Chiefs build a new stadium, and it's like, we're going to get a Super Bowl. We're going to get concerts. We're going to get Final Four. We're going to get WrestleMania. Royal Rumble. Wait, were those last two you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
And Dusty, they'll probably be the two biggest crowds.
100%. 100%. Yeah. Coming up on the other side, which one scares you more? Here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Good morning, Kansas City. It's Peter Woods, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football on 96.5 The Fan.